Iran has rejected the possibility of any changes to the parties in the 2015 nuclear deal known as the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action. Confirmed COVID-19 cases in the U.S. surpassed the grim milestone of 26 million. And Indian farmers launch a hunger strike near the capital, Delhi, to show their anger at the government's agricultural reforms. Hello, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to World News. Iran has rejected the possibility of any changes to the parties of the 2015 nuclear deal known as the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action. Iran's foreign ministry spokesperson stressed that the JCPOA is a multilateral international accord endorsed by the United Nations. It's non-negotiable and parties to it unchangeable. Saeed Khatibzadeh was reacting to Friday's remarks by the French President Emmanuel Macron, who said that any fresh talks on the deal should include Saudi Arabia. Khatibzadeh also reiterated Tehran's stance that if the U.S. wants to save the deal, it needs to lift all anti-Iran sanctions and return to the accord. Iranian spokesperson also noted weapons sold by France to Persian Gulf Arab states are being used to massacre Yemeni civilians. He says such weapons are also the main cause of instability in West Asia. Political commentator Bijan Tavassoli believes that France's support for Saudi Arabia's to do with the kingdom's appealing arms market.
So I think that it's very important to realize that President Macron reached power through the support of the late Serge Dassault, one of the preeminent weapons manufacturers in France. And the Dassault Group and other French arms manufacturers, they are very much interested in selling to the Saudis and to other Arab nations. And that explains the motivation of the French government to be such forthcoming in very undiplomatic terms towards the Saudis and with no respect to international law and precedents. So it is absurd, it is beyond absurd to now state that the Saudi sheikh or king or whatever has to be included in those negotiations. That makes no sense, and it's an obvious play by the French government to further their weapons sales to the region.
Iran's foreign minister has called for collective cooperation to prevent another conflict in the Caucasus. Mohammad Javad Zarif underlined the role of the Nakhchivan Autonomous Republic in securing such cooperation. Zarif expressed hope the transit corridors in the Caucasus can promote peace and stability in the region following a deadly conflict between Azerbaijan and Armenia over the disputed region of Nagorno-Karabakh. He made the remarks in the Nakhchivan Autonomous Republic during a final leg of his tour of the Caucasus region, which also took him to Azerbaijan, Russia, Georgia, and Turkey. And during his visits, Zarif also discussed opening a railway which will link the Persian Gulf, the Black Sea, and Russia through Nakhchivan and Armenia. Number of confirmed COVID-19 cases in the U.S. have surpassed 26 million. According to Johns Hopkins University, over 438,000 Americans have now died from the virus. Data shows that the first month of this year has been the country's deadliest since the beginning of this whole thing, with nearly 91,000 fatalities. The U.S., the world's worst-hit country by the virus, is struggling to contain spread of new strains of the coronavirus. Maryland has become now the second U.S. state to report a more transmissible variant, first identified in South Africa. On Thursday, South Carolina also reported two cases of the strain. The developments come as now wearing masks has become mandated as of February 1st by the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Ronnie Crivello says surge in COVID infections in the U.S. mainly has to do with the government's mishandling of the pandemic.
We had the 26 million cases so far. But it's very interesting to understand how the first 13 million happened. It took 365 days, a year, for the first 13 million. But for the second 13 million people, was just 64 days. So it's narrowing. So the number increases dramatically. Brazil and United States, or United States and Brazil, they have the same problem. And basically you have the same behavior of the government. So they are not accepting the virus. They are in denial of the virus. They ask people to take the different medication that was not approved by the scientists. So that at the beginning was the main cause. And then, of course, their followers was not obeying the mask, the distancing, keeping distance from each other, and not following the directions of the Minister of Health of those two countries that I mentioned, especially here in the United States.
Portugal says it has only 7 vacant beds left in its intensive care units for COVID-19 cases on its mainland. Data by its health ministry shows a record 843 out of 850 ICU beds are now occupied, and this has prompted authorities to have to transfer some patients over to the Portuguese islands. Portugal has the world's highest 7-day average rates of cases and deaths per capita. It's confirmed more than 711,000 infections and over 12,000 fatalities. Elsewhere, Britain has confirmed 1,200 new deaths and 23,000 infections over the past day. It's battling a new highly transmissible variant. New strains prompted Germany to restrict travel from the UK and a number of other countries.
Since midnight last night, a new coronavirus regulation has been in force. Police here have the task of checking that the ban on flights from the so-called virus variant areas is being adhered to. Currently, these include 5 countries: Brazil, South Africa, Britain, Ireland, and Portugal. We are monitoring the ban, which means that since midnight, nobody has been allowed to enter Germany from these countries.
German citizens and those with a residency permit are exempt from the recent travel restrictions. However, they need to have tested negative for the virus at most 48 hours before arriving in the country. Germany's confirmed cases rose by more than 12,000 to 2.2 million on Saturday. Death toll increased by almost 800. Italy also added more than 12,700 new infections to its daily caseload. It also reported 421 new deaths. Russia also reported 19,000 infections and 500 daily deaths. Max Civili joined us earlier with the latest of COVID outbreak there in Italy.
In Italy, restrictions will be eased between Sunday and Monday, based, in fact, on the latest regional contagion data reported by the health ministry. Coronavirus risk levels will be downgraded from Sunday in most parts of the country. 15 out of 20 in Italy's regions from tomorrow will be considered yellow under the color-coded system of yellow, orange, and red, which indicates coronavirus risk and the restrictions in place. Being downgraded from medium risk orange zones to lower risk yellow zones means basically that bars, restaurants can reopen the doors to customers until 6 p.m. and there will be greater freedom to travel.
Demonstrations have been held in several cities throughout France over a draft proposal which would ban filming police activities. Protesters described the bill as a violation of a freedom of expression. Our correspondent Chris Dan Hahn has more.
Protesters have taken to the streets in dozens of French cities against a security bill they say will restrict the filming and publicizing of images of police brutality. Demonstrators said the draft legislation will lead to more censorship and less freedom.
This bill has one objective, to allow a surveillance of the territory by drones. We are, of course, against the ban for journalists to film and to publish pictures of police officers. They want to prevent the publication of footage of police violence. The citizens say we don't want this law at all.
A total of 70 groups, including the Yellow Vests, organized the protest. Protesters said the new law opens the door to a generalized surveillance of the population, the use of drones, and the ban to film police officers.
We have been experiencing police violence for a long time, in the suburbs more than elsewhere. There is more and more violence during demonstrations. The citizens should understand that we are here to defend their future liberty and the right to film. We must be able to show the judges that sometimes there is police violence. Pictures are sometimes the only evidence.
Footage of white police officers beating up a black music producer in his Paris studio on November 21 has fueled anger over the legislation, condemned by many as signaling a swing to the right by President Emmanuel Macron.
We've got for a lot of years now in France a lot of discussions about identity checks, which are very more likely to be happening to young people, to men, and to men with different backgrounds from origin, Arabic people and black people. So this kind of systematic background checks and identity checks, it participates to a state racism in French, especially about the police, and so we are fully supporting the Amnesty report.
Last week, Amnesty International, Human Rights Watch, and four other rights groups warned that they will file a lawsuit against the French government for what they called systematic discrimination by police officers carrying out identity checks. Even French President Macron admitted recently that there was a problem of discrimination during identity checks.
The new security bill will be debated in the French Senate in about 1 month. Some senators declared they want to rewrite the bill, but most protesters here simply want to abrogate it. Chris Den Hunt, Paris.
An explosion has rocked a Turkish-occupied city in Syria's northern province of Aleppo, leaving at least six civilians, including three children, dead. The deadly incident occurred when an explosive-laden vehicle blew up near a base of the Turkish-affiliated militants in Afrin City. More than two dozen civilians were also wounded in a blast. The Syrian Observatory for Human Rights says the death toll could rise. Afrin and other Turkish-occupied areas of northern Syria are regularly hit by such bombings. Back in January 2018, Ankara launched a cross-border military operation into Syria with a declared aim of driving out Syrian Kurdish militants from Afrin. Pakistani Prime Minister Imran Khan, whose government came to power 2 years ago promising to come down hard on corruption, is now in hot water after Transparency International slipped Pakistan by 4 points on its corruption index. Javed Rana has your story from Islamabad.
The government of Prime Minister Imran Khan has come under fire after International Corruption Perceptions Index slipped Pakistan by 4 points. It has come as an embarrassment for a government which came into power in 2018 with a key promise to bring an end to the rampant corruption in Pakistan. Prime Minister Imran Khan argued that the data given in the Transparency International report belonged to the period when the opposition parties were in power, something denied by the opposition.
The date given in the findings of Transparency International is of 2019 and 2020. The data reveals that Pakistan, in fact, has slipped by 7 points since this government came into power. It indicates that this government has not only turned out to be the most incompetent, but also the most corrupt government Pakistan ever had.
The Transparency International's Perception Index ranked Pakistan at 124th position out of 180 countries.
As a result of our movement against the menace of corruption, now there is more awareness and discussions against corruption, something never happened before in Pakistan. And the Transparency International report is based on perception about corruption, and obviously the report has led to affect Pakistan's global standing.
Most of the MPs, ministers and advisors of the current government joined the ruling party not long before general elections in 2018. A significant number of them from the opposition parties, and many among them were tainted with the corruption charges. Public perception in Pakistan is that Prime Minister Imran Khan himself is not financially corrupt, unlike many of his predecessors. However, media reports indicate that many of his close associates were allegedly involved in wheeling and dealing in a country where anti-graft watchdog least punish allegedly corrupt officials, ministers, advisors, and powerful retired military generals. Javed Rana, Islamabad.
Hey, Israelis have held a fresh demonstration against Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in Jerusalem, Al-Quds. Protesters gathered outside his home to condemn his policies and call once again for his resignation. Demonstration was held despite a ban on protests. Israelis have been staging street rallies over recent months to protest soaring unemployment, a hike in COVID infections, and a return of coronavirus restrictions, adding to anti-regime sentiments or corruption charges facing the premier. Netanyahu went on trial in May for bribery, fraud and breach of trust, but denies any wrongdoings. Indian farmers have launched a hunger strike near the capital of New Delhi, protesting the government's agricultural reforms.
We will not hide behind the force of violence. Until the three laws are taken back, we are not moving from here.
Farmers' leaders say the strike demonstrates the peaceful nature of their protests and it coincides with the death anniversary of independence leader Mahatma Gandhi. Police have tightened security and internet services have been blocked in several areas around New Delhi. Protesters are angry at the new laws that they say benefits only large corporations at their expense. For over 2 months now, tens of thousands of farmers have camped at protest sites on the outskirts of the capital, demanding this law be repealed. Violence erupted on Tuesday during a tractor rally in New Delhi to mark India's Republic Day. Clashes left one person dead and hundreds injured. Our correspondent in New Delhi says the Indian farmers' unions are determined to continue the protest until the new laws are repealed.
But the farmers' leaders are saying, look, we have had a very violent and shaky past, very bad past. We see farmers have always been struggling in this part of the world. We need a concrete policy. We need a farm law. We need an agricultural reform that would safeguard the interests of millions of farmers whose livelihood depends on farming. Look, we're not talking about big farmers, Mirzia. We're talking about small farmers, somebody having 2 acres of land, and his income is just 200 to 300 rupees a day, which doesn't make $3 to $4 a day. So we need to think about those farmers. So give us the law that safeguards our interest and that does not bring the middleman in the topic or in the scene. We want such laws. We don't want to fight with you in future again for agricultural reforms. You give us the laws, new laws that will suit us, that will safeguard our interest in future or for a generation. So we're going to call off the protest. But at the moment we speak, the farmers' union leaders have reiterated that we are not going to end this protest until all these three laws are scrapped. Nothing more than that.
Tunisians have taken to the streets of the capital in fresh protests against inequality and police abuse. Hundreds of protesters marched throughout the capital of Tunis. They encountered with riot police-led scuffles. Protesters threw bottles and security forces responded with batons. It's the latest in a series of near-daily protests. This month, over 1,000 people have been arrested over the past couple of weeks. Tunisia's economic and political crises have been exacerbated by the COVID pandemic and a political deadlock since the 2019 elections. Political commentator Julius Baluto says the Tunisian government must not count on its police force to bring the country back to normalcy.
2019 election, there was optimism. But right now, the look of it is that all these hopes and dreams have been kind of dashed. But when they look, they don't see change. And that's a catastrophe that we are facing right now. Mm. Yeah, in terms of the government to bring things back to normalcy, you cannot be your own police. You cannot police yourself. And that's why there are protests, because definitely the sentiments, the narrative, the protests happening, I think a government that thinks and watches, then they know if we don't change things, definitely, we may go down the road of Beni Ali, you know. I don't think the government wants things to go down to that route. I think it will be in the interest of the government to address the issues that are making people to protest.
And that's it for your latest, everyone. Thank you for joining us here on World News.
IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
the limelight.
Europe is facing an accelerating health, economic and political crisis amid high coronavirus infection rates, hospitalizations and deaths in many countries. The European economy remains largely in lockdown. More infectious virus variants are spreading. Mexico surpassed India in coronavirus-related deaths with about 1,506 new fatalities on Thursday, 28th of January. We're prepared for a report written by staff writers at the Reuters news agency under the heading Europe's Crisis Accelerates, Mexico's Virus Toll Now World's Third. Stay with us for more of the Reuters news agency report. Mexico overtakes India with the third highest number of coronavirus fatalities after the United States and Brazil. In Europe, countries consider imposing new restrictions as a new variant of COVID-19 that initially emerged in Britain continues to rise across the European continent. Mexico surpassed India in coronavirus-related deaths with about 1,506 new fatalities on Thursday, 28th of January 2021. The additional deaths pushed the total number of fatalities in Mexico to 155,145. Mexico's health ministry also reported 18,617 new confirmed cases of COVID-19, bringing the total number to 1,825,519 across the North American country. In Mexico City, hospitals are nearing capacity, and a shortage of oxygen tanks has complicated the treatment of COVID-19 patients. According to a Reuters tally, India, a country with a population more than 10 times that of Mexico, has reported a total death toll of about 154,000. According to Deputy Health Minister Hugo López-Gatell, Mexican President Andrés Manuel López Obrador, who said he had tested positive for COVID-19 himself recently, is now improving. The president has so far resisted imposing mandatory lockdowns to curb the spread of COVID-19. Europe is facing an accelerating health, economic and political crisis. Amid high infection rates, hospitalizations and deaths in many countries, the European economy remains largely in lockdown. More infectious virus variants are spreading across the European continent. The French health minister, Olivier Véran, said recently the government's current restrictive measures in France are becoming ineffective because the number of cases of new variant of COVID-19 keeps steadily rising. Olivier Véran said the new variant constituted 3.2% of total positive cases at the beginning of January, but that figure has increased to about 1 in 10 of all cases. Olivier Véran said from 500 cases then, we are today at more than 2,000 cases daily, adding that new variants of the virus are the worrying parameter as they are more contagious. Olivier Véran warned about the emergence of a pandemic within the pandemic as a new variant of COVID-19 is circulating more widely and is spreading faster every week. The French health minister added the effectiveness of the curfew is now waning. According to the latest figures, the number of new COVID-19 cases reached a record high of about 27,000 by the end of Thursday evening, 28th of January. An additional 350 deaths were also reported. The country, with a total number of 3,166,145 infection cases and 74,601 fatalities, has been under almost a year-long lockdown to combat the pandemic. The French government spokesman, Gabriel Attal, said the French government is considering scenarios ranging from maintaining the current framework to a very tight containment policy. According to the most recent opinion polls, this has raised the possibility of a third lockdown in France in less than 12 months. The country went into lockdown twice last year, the first between March and May, and the second between October and December. We'll be right back. French government is now cautious that a third lockdown could spark angry protests similar to the protests which took place in the Netherlands recently. Protests hit the Netherlands against coronavirus lockdown measures, the first ever curfew since the Second World War, with the Dutch police using tear gas and water cannon to disperse angry protesters. Police have arrested hundreds of people during days of unrest over the past 2 weeks in cities across the Netherlands, where protesters set fire and violently clashed with members of the security forces. Social media users in France have started calling for civil disobedience using the hashtag Je ne me reconnaîtrai pas, I will not go back into lockdown, on Twitter. The United Kingdom has also seen several anti-lockdown protests as millions of people have long been living under restrictive measures. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson warned lately that tough measures may continue into the spring and even beyond into the summer. Some 24 million people, representing 43% of Britain's population, are currently living under lockdown in the United Kingdom. Under the restrictions, non-essential shops, hairdressers and gymnasiums remain closed. The order also includes a warning to stay at home, placing a limit on household mixing to two people outdoors. According to the Johns Hopkins University, the pandemic has so far infected a total number of 3,760,000 people and killed over 103,000 others across the United Kingdom. According to the Foreign Policy magazine, Europe finds itself in an economic and political explosive situation. The Foreign Policy magazine said on Friday, 29th of January, that the European continent will not be able to reopen its economy expeditiously, at least not without a ruinous death toll. It added, there will also not be any quick fixes in the coming weeks, as complex vaccine manufacturing capacity cannot be magically conjured up overnight. Amid the crisis, the World Health Organization, WHO, launched an investigation into the origins of the COVID-19 pandemic in the Chinese city of Wuhan on Friday, 29th of January, 2021. The World Health Organization sent a team of investigators to Wuhan, China, where the first ever coronavirus infection was reported. The team of experts met with a group of Chinese scientists in the central Chinese city of Wuhan ahead of a series of field visits to hospitals, to laboratories, and the now closed Huanan market, which was said to have been the link between the first cases of the coronavirus infection. The World Health Organization said in a tweet, all hypotheses are on the table as the team follows the science in their work to understand the origin of the COVID-19 virus. It urged China to provide the team of investigators with the support, access, and data that they need. Earlier this month, the World Health Organization technical lead on the disease, Maria Van Kerkhove, said the world may never find patient zero in its search for the origins of the coronavirus. The emergence of the coronavirus in Wuhan, China, has prompted the US and some other allies to claim that the virus had originated in the laboratory in the Chinese city of Wuhan, and blamed China for the spread of the disease. White House spokesperson Jen Psaki said recently that it was imperative we get to the bottom of how the coronavirus appeared and spread worldwide. White House spokesman Jen Psaki urged a robust and clear investigation into the origins of the coronavirus pandemic, alleging that there might have been some misinformation from some sources in China.
Yeah. the spiritual message of Islam.
His door is open no matter who you are. Just take the first step, you'll see it's not so far. If we all open our eyes to see, he is all that we need right now. And we can all come together somewhere, somehow.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-Aliyyi al-Azim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Wa ala alihi al-tayyibin al-tahirin la siyama baqiyatillahi fil aradin. Ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu al-sharif wa ja'alana min a'wanihi wa ansarihi wa shi'atih. The last point we've been discussing was that community of Ahlul Bayt is a community which is built around the truth and is trying to be always at the service of truth. And we want to continue this and address another important quality, and that is unity. Interestingly, in the Quran you find a close link between being truthful and united. It is only truth that can unite a community, because truth is always one. If you all try to serve the truth, there is no way to be divided, there is no way to fight. As soon as we forget the truth, when we start thinking about our own interest, our own ego, then divisions start and there is no end. In Surah Anbiya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Anbiya 92, إن هذه أمتكم أمة واحدة وأنا ربكم فاعبدون. Our ulama say this is an address to the prophets. Allah's plan was that all prophets with all the followers must be one united community. Unfortunately, then people even use this as a reason to be divided. You follow this prophet, I follow that prophet. So we started fighting. Then among the followers of the same prophet, then they started fighting. Then even among the people who are in the same mazhab, then they start fighting. Shaitan is not happy with any limit. If Shaitan can, you know, make you fight inside your family, makes you fight. Because unity is very much annoying Shaitan. Shaitan always wants to divide. You know, one of the things that you find in the Quran is Shaitan and satanic people always divide. Fir'aun ja'ala ahlaha shi'a. Shi'a is different from Shia. Shi'a means scattered groups. So Shaitan and his people always divide. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always unites. Huwa alladhi, Allah says in the Quran, this is very beautiful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He is the one who united your heart. هُوَ الَّذِي أَيَّدَكَ بِنَصْرِهِ وَبِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ. Allah is the one who helped you by giving you support and by giving you mu'mineen. Mu'mineen were great support for Rasulullah. When you have mu'mineen present, then you have great support. You don't know how important it is when you come to such gatherings. How much honor this gives to the community of Ahlul Bayt when tens and hundreds and thousands of people gather every night together. This gives us strength. This gives Rasulullah happiness. وَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ غُلُوبِهِمْ. Allah is the one who united the hearts. لَوْ أَنْفَقْتَ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا مَا أَلَّفْتَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ. If you were giving everyone some vouchers so that, you know, they love each other, they would not be united. If you give them all the money, مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ, if you spend everything on the earth to bring people together, they would not come together. Money cannot unite people. It is love for Allah and for the sake of Allah that can unite people. And Shaitan is very angry when he sees people are getting together. I should do something. First, I stop them coming together. But if I cannot stop them coming together, so I go when they are there, try bring hatred and dislike and division. This is Shaitan. He's never, you know, satisfied.
Oh, what a wonderful world this would be if we all open our eyes to see. He is all that we need right now, and we can all come together somewhere, somehow. His door is open no matter who you are. Just take the first step, you'll see it's not so far. Down this road that holds all the answers. Open your heart to something greater. His holy book speaks pure and true, and always tells us what we must do. His last prophet was sent as a guide, an example by which we abide. There is salvation for those who seek to find the one and only source of peace and understanding of why we are here, who created us, who we must fear. So what a wonderful world this would be if we all open our eyes to see. He is all that we need right now, and we can all come together somewhere, somehow.
لو أنفقت ما في الأرض جميعا ما ألفت بين قلوبهم ولكن الله ألف بينهم. It is Allah who has united their hearts. We have to be very grateful that Allah has united our hearts. Alhamdulillah, here we have people who have come here. They love each other. They support each other. All is because of Allah's favor upon us. Allah also says, وَاعْتَسِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. You all need one center for unity, and that is Hablullah, the divine rope. That is Quran, that is truth. You should all grasp and hold on to it. وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Do not be divided. Now that you have been given, Alhamdulillah, Islam, you have been given guidance of Ahlul Bayt, you know everything. Why you are divided? وَاذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ. You were all enemies. Allah brought you together. Allah united your heart. فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَتِهِ إِخْوَانًا. Because of Allah's blessing, you have become brothers and sisters. We are not brothers and sisters in blood or genetic, but we are brothers and sisters in Iman, which is much more important than brother or sister of blood. Habil and Gabil were brothers from the same parents. But that was not stopping Qabil harming his brother. But two brothers of Iman never harm each other. Never wish bad for each other. Therefore now I want to move on to the relation that should exist between the members of the community of Ahlul Bayt. So a community which is truthful and therefore united, the members are in maximum friendship and unity with each other. We have many, many hadiths about the love, about the support that should be between the brothers and sisters in faith, between mu'mineen, between the lovers of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam.
That was the Characters of Shia Community by Hujjatul Islam, Dr. Shomali, and the program, The Spiritual Message of Islam.
I'm looking back throughout the years to breathe is hard and my eyes are choked with tears. Your face and hair are full of light. Now it will soon be time to go. I feel you feeling calm now. Did the angel let you know?
O Allah, please send your salutations to Muhammad and all Muhammad. O Allah, please forgive us. Please forgive all our sins and mistakes and shortcomings. Please enable us to serve you with full honesty and truthfulness and sincerity. Please include us among the best followers of Muhammad and Ali Muhammad. Please protect and safeguard our community and our families and our youths from everything that you don't like. O Allah, please hasten the reappearance of Imam Zaman Ajjalallahu Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif. Please make our Imam Zaman happy with what we do and what we say. Please answer his du'as for his faraj. Please give shifa to all people who are ill. Please give shifa to people who are ill in their body and in their soul. O Allah, please send your rahmah, your forgiveness to all who have passed away, especially brothers and sisters who were attending these majalis in this community and other communities. Our parents, our foreparents, our teachers, our ulama, our maraji, those who have passed away. Please let them be with Muhammad and Ali Muhammad right now. And please give long life and blessed life to the parents and to the teachers and maraji who are alive. O Allah, please make the last moment of our life the best moment of our life. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
My ummah, he will say. Rasulullah on that day, even though we've strayed from him and his way. My brothers, my sisters in Islam, let's struggle, work and pray. If we are to bring back the glory of his way. Ya Allah, Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the Ummah rise again.
Ya Allah,
Ya Rabb al-Alamin, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, Ya Rabbi, let the Ummah rise again. Let us see daylight again, once again.
The bustle of life. The sound of living. The sound will endure.
Hello.
IRIB English Radio.
The video's title was posed as a question, but it left little doubt about where the men who filmed the video actually stood. They called it the coming civil war. And in its opening seconds, Jim Arroyo, who leads an Arizona chapter of Oath Keepers, a right-wing militia, declared that the conflict had already begun. To back up his claim, Mr. Arroyo cited Republican Representative Paul Gosar of Arizona, one of the most far-right members of U.S. Congress. Paul Gosar had paid a visit to the local Oath Keepers chapter a few years earlier, Mr. Arroyo recounted, and when asked if the United States was headed for a civil war, the congressman's response to the group was just flat out, "We're in it already. We just haven't started shooting at each other yet." The article you're about to hear has been written by the New York Times journalists Luke Broadwater and Matthew Rosenberg. The piece is titled, Republican Ties to Extremist Groups Are Under Scrutiny. Stay with us for more of Luke Broadwater and Matthew Rosenberg's article. video's title was posed as a question, but it left little doubt about where the men who actually made the video stood. They called it the coming civil war. And in its opening seconds, Jim Arroyo, who leads an Arizona chapter of Oath Keepers, a right-wing militia group, declared that the conflict had already begun. To back up his claim, Mr. Arroyo cited Republican Representative Paul Gosar of Arizona, one of the most far-right members of Congress. Mr. Gosar had paid a visit to the local Oath Keepers chapter a few years earlier, Mr. Arroyo recounted, and when asked if the United States was heading for a civil war, the Congressman Paul Gosar's response to the group was just flat out, "We're in it already. We just haven't started shooting at each other yet." Less than 2 months after the video was posted, members of the Oath Keepers were among those with links to extremist groups from around the country who took part in the 6th of January attack on the Capitol building in Washington, prompting new scrutiny on the links between members of Congress and an array of organizations and movements that espouse far-right beliefs. Nearly 150 House Republicans supported former President Donald Trump's baseless claims that the election has been stolen from him. But Paul Gosar and a handful of other Republican members of the House had deeper ties to extremist groups who pushed violent ideas and conspiracy theories, and whose members were prominent among those who stormed the halls of Congress in an effort to stop certification of President-elect Joseph R. Biden Jr.'s victory. Their ranks include Representative Andy Biggs of Arizona, who, like Paul Gosar, was linked to Stop the Steal campaign, backing Donald Trump's efforts to overturn the election's outcome. Representative Lauren Boebert of Colorado has also close connections to militia groups, including the so-called Three Percenters, an extreme offshoot of the gun rights movement that had at least one member who entered the Capitol building on Wednesday, 6th of January. Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene has promoted the QAnon conspiracy theory, whose adherents were among the most visible of those storming the building, and she appeared at a rally with various militia groups. Before being elected to Congress last year, Marjorie Taylor Greene used social media in 2019 to endorse executing top Democrats and has suggested that the 2018 shooting at the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida, was actually a false flag attack. The liberal group Media Matters for America reported on Thursday that Marjorie Taylor Greene also speculated on Facebook in 2018 that California wildfires might have been started by lasers from space, promoting a theory pushed by followers of QAnon. Representative Matt Gaetz of Florida appeared last year at an event also attended by members of the Proud Boys, another extremist organization whose role in the 6th of January assault on the Capitol building, like those of Oath Keepers and Three Percenters, is currently being investigated by the FBI. It is not clear whether any elected officials played a role in directly facilitating the attack on the Capitol, other than helping to incite violence through false statements about the election being stolen from Donald Trump. Officials have said they're investigating reports from Democrats that a number of House Republicans provided tours of the Capitol building and other information to people who might have gone on to be part of the mob which attacked the Capitol building the following day, 6th of January. So far, no evidence has surfaced publicly to back up these claims. Ms. Boebert of Colorado said in a statement that she had never given a tour of U.S. Capitol to anyone besides family members in town for my swearing-in, and she called accusations from Democrats that she gave a reconnaissance tour to insurgents as irresponsible lies. After the riot at the Capitol on 6th of January, she said she did not support unlawful actions and acts of violence. Andy Biggs has denied associating with Stop the Steal organizers and condemned the violence of any kind. Were you aware of any planned demonstrations or riots at the U.S. Capitol to take place after the rally on 6th of January 2021? No, Mr. Biggs said in a statement. A spokesman for Marjorie Taylor Greene said she now rejects QAnon and he tried to distance her from militia members. Marjorie Taylor Greene doesn't have anything to do with it, her communications director Nick Dyer said of QAnon. She thinks it's disinformation. For the militia members, he said, those people were at one event independently of Congresswoman Greene. Paul Gosar did not respond to requests for comment. Matt Gaetz, on his podcast, said the Proud Boys were at an event he attended to provide security, and that just because you take a picture with someone, it does not mean you're tied to every viewpoint they've ever had or that they will ever have in the future. But in signaling either overt or tacit support, a small but vocal band of Republicans now serving in the House of Representatives provided legitimacy and publicity to extremist groups and movements as they built towards their role in supporting Donald Trump's efforts to subvert the outcome of the 2020 presidential election and the attack on the Capitol building. Aiton Goldman, a former federal prosecutor who helped convict the Oklahoma City bomber Timothy McVeigh, said that when elected officials or even candidates for office took actions like appearing with militia groups or other right-wing groups, it provides them with an added imprimatur of legitimacy. An examination of many of the most prominent elected Republicans with links to various right-wing groups also shows how various strands of extremism came together at the Capitol building on Wednesday, 6th of January 2021. In July, Paul Gosar, a dentist, posed for a picture with a member of the Proud Boys. 2 years earlier, he spoke at a rally for a jailed leader of Britain's anti-immigrant fringe in London, where he vilified Muslim immigrants as a scourge. And in 2014, Paul Gosar traveled to Nevada to support the armed standoff between law enforcement and supporters of the cattle rancher Cliven Bundy, who had refused to stop trespassing on federal lands. Andy Biggs, the chairman of the hard-right House of Freedom Caucus, was seen by leaders of the Stop the Steal movement as an inspiration and has spoken at events hosted by various extremist groups, including one at which a founder of the Oath Keepers called for hanging Senator John McCain. Ms. Boebert of Colorado, elected to the House in November, said on Twitter that today is 1776 on the morning of Wednesday, 6th of January 2021, and she has connections to the Three Percenters extremist group, which shares her view that gun rights are under assault. At least one member of the group has been arrested in the breach of the Capitol building. Marjorie Taylor Greene has for years trafficked in conspiracy theories, expressed support for QAnon, and made offensive remarks about black people, Jews and Muslims. She also appeared at a campaign event alongside members of the Three Percenters extremist group. To some degree, members of Congress have been reflecting signals sent by former President Donald Trump. During a presidential debate in October, he made a nod towards the Proud Boys, telling them to stand back and stand by. 2 months earlier, Donald Trump described followers of QAnon, several of whom have been charged with murder, domestic terrorism, planned kidnapping, and most recently, storming of the Capitol building, as people that love our country. Donald Trump added, apparently, they like me. Few Republicans have been more linked to extremist groups than Paul Gosar, a Republican congressman from Arizona. He's been involved with anti-Muslim groups and various hate groups, said Mr. Gosar's brother, Dave Gosar, a lawyer in Wyoming. He's made anti-Semitic diatribes. He's twisted up so tight with the Oath Keepers, it's not even funny. Dave Gosar, Paul Gosar's brother, and other Gosar siblings ran advertisements denouncing their brother as a dangerous extremist when he ran for Congress in 2018. Now they're calling on Congress to expel him. "We warned everybody how dangerous he was," Dave Gosar said. In the days after the 2020 election, Mr. Gosar and Mr. Biggs helped turn Arizona into a crucible for the Stop the Steal movement, finding common cause with hardliners who until then had toiled in obscurity. Like Ali Alexander, the two congressmen recorded a video, "This election is a joke," which was viewed more than a million times and spread disinformation about alleged widespread voter fraud. Mr. Alexander has said he schemed up the 6th of January rally with Paul Gosar and Andy Biggs and another vocal proponent of Stop the Steal, Representative Mo Brooks of Alabama. Mr. Alexander's characterization of the role of the members of Congress is exaggerated, Andy Biggs said, but the lawmakers were part of a larger network of people who helped plan and promote the rally as part of Donald Trump's effort to overturn the will of the American voters. After the election, Mr. Alexander emerged as a vocal proponent of the president's stolen election claims, setting up a Stop the Steal website on 4th of November and making incendiary statements. On 8th of December 2020, he tweeted that he was willing to give up his life to keep Donald Trump in office.
Iranian news, Iranian culture, Iranian voice. This is IRIB English Radio.